What up, what up, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Rodney Perry. This is the Rodney Perry Podcast. It can go down anywhere, anytime, any place. Welcome to the show, Mr. Brandon Patrick. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. Just trying to learn this here guitar, man. I spent a little depression money on it, so I figured I should learn it.
So wait. Now, you're a comedian and you're a musician. How many instruments do you play?
Let's see, we got the guitar, we got the trumpet, we got the saxophones, the keyboards, that's four right there. And then I do a little bit of bass, and then a little bit of computer stuff. Let's say five.
So you're primarily a trumpeter.
Yes.
But you're picking up the guitar now.
Correct.
Now, is that the acoustic guitar or electric guitar? What are you doing?
So this is it's one of those jazz guitars. So it's acoustic and electric, but it's a big jazz guitar.
Word. Well, Brandon Patrick, man, what's going on in your world, man? You're a funny guy. You can be heard on the D.L. Hughley show. What's your thoughts on the whole Jay-Z, Beyonce, almost new picks to hit the internet yesterday?
It's interesting because I never thought Jay-Z or Beyonce would do that. That's a Kanye move right there.
Right.
That's a true Kanye move right there. So it's like, is Jay-Z... I never felt he needed to do anything like that. It's almost like your relevancy takes a hit as soon as I see your woman's ass.
You know what? The quick take is that, of course, you know, it hit the news that Jay-Z had some infidelity issues. So I get the feeling that she kind of wanted to do it. And after you get busted, you kind of roll with whatever.
That's true. You were at the mercy of the woman at that point.
Now somebody was saying, you know, Jay-Z could have hit the gym before the pitches, but I think it's dope that he ain't the best, you know, in the best shape that I got a theory, man, I did it on my last podcast, that regular people are more likely to be successful. Like, there are some beautiful people, and Beyonce is one of them, but she's an anomaly. Like,
right.
really beautiful people really don't get the golden grail.
That's because they were taught at an early age, you don't need to work as hard.
You think that's true?
Of course. How many trophy wives do you know? Wives that don't have jobs, they're just beautiful, and they don't have a ton going on intellectually.
You know what? I mean, you make a great point. I like when I think of look, if you just look on Instagram, all the finest women have nobody. Meanwhile, yeah, all the regular chicks are booed up.
Exactly.
Why do you think it is? How do you explain that?
Instagram is interesting because, first of all, Instagram is not real. That's what's important. Instagram doesn't exist. Instagram is where you go to literally put your best foot forward for strangers.
Right.
So people that are already happy and content don't need Instagram. They don't need to put that out there.
Now, wait a minute.
All you've ever had to offer.
Wait a minute, Brandon. Shit, I'm on Instagram and am I a mindless human?
But you're not on Instagram. Your product is on Instagram. There's a difference.
Mm. Okay.
You're on Instagram promoting a product. Even if you're not directly promoting a product, everything you say and do on Instagram says, go see a show.
True.
If you don't have a show, if you're just a beautiful woman and there's no conversion factor, why do you exist on Instagram?
Wow.
If you exist just to be pretty and get likes, I mean, that's great, but what does that further get you? You know what I mean?
But if there were no Instagram, that would still be something, right?
Of course. Every vacuum gets filled. Every vacuum gets filled. But we've never, in the history of the world, there's never been a place where vain people could go and get immediate validation. Okay. You used to have to be beautiful and anonymous, damn near. Like, you don't know who the Mona Lisa is. She was just a girl a dude saw and said, I'm gonna paint you.
But the Mona Lisa was not no bad bitch either. She was she supports my theory that regular people are more likely to be successful, although beautiful people lead what I think is easier lives.
See, by the standards of the time, like, if you look at the people in the year the Mona Lisa was painted, she was a bad chick, though.
No. Let me tell you something, Brandon.
That's what bad chicks were like in 1700.
Hold the fuck on, Brandon. I'm not going to let you do that. Because guess what? Good looking never changes. People that are regarded as attractive people are always attractive people. That don't change with the 1700s. Or,
oh, for sure it does. Look at the past 20 years. The standards of beauty have become Africanized, and that's why white women have asses now.
No. I think the physicality has changed. What I'm saying, excuse me, I'm saying the people that we regard as good looking are still good looking. Like your second grade teacher that you thought was cute is still a beautiful woman,
right?
Like now, what you're saying is not untrue in terms of the physicality, the thing that's attractive across the board, big butts and lips and stuff like that. Absolutely, right. It's been Africanized, and that's pop culture, but Black is always the root of cool, the root of pop.
Oh, of course. Of course. People would go from Africa to Egypt just to look at Nefertiti, just to look at Cleopatra.
Let's talk about this before we get out of here. I think that comedians, although if you're a good comedian, people say you're stupid. They say you're retarded. They say you're dumb. But I think comedians might be some of the smartest humans I know, regardless of their educational background. Brandon 1,000%. Patrick, first of all, what's your educational background? What's your the highest level of education you reached? And how smart are you right now?
I have 3 bachelor's degrees, trumpet, jazz studies, and journalism.
Wow.
I would say I'm smart. I mean, I'm pretty, I don't, you know what it is? It's not that I'm smart. It's that I adapt and learn. That's what it is.
Mm. Now let me ask you this. How does your intellect affect your stand-up?
So the way I perceive, the way I see things is weird. Everything I think is weird. So it's like, okay, you're coming at this from a weird angle. How do you get it to where Joe average dude who doesn't live your life, doesn't see your experience, how do you get it so that dude gets it? So it's that journey of linking those two together, which you taught me. You told me, I remember I used to write jokes. It used to be jokes and not real things. Making those bridges, those connections, that's where I think most people would fail at this profession.
Mm.
Because it's hard to see something from two perspectives. It really is. And it's even harder to link those two perspectives. Like, for instance, I don't think Trump is a good president.
Okay.
Or a good person at all.
Okay.
At all. But being from Oklahoma and growing up around people who do believe that he's a great person, I can do the mental gymnastics it would take to look at that guy and be like, no, he's a great dude. And then I can further relay that to people who, like me, disagree with him, where it's like, yeah, he's bad, but, you know, this ain't too far from the truth.
You know what, man? And you bring up a great subject. You know, when you get into politics, that's why people say don't talk politics, don't talk religion. because people are so passionate about their guy. Like, so, and they're less passionate about the guy and more passionate about the R and the D, the Republican and the Democrat.
Yep.
You know, I think one of the fundamental things that's wrong with this country is the fact that there's a two-party system. Like, if there were more options, Trump wouldn't be president. But the fact that there were only two options and you sometimes take the lesser of the two evils, then that creates a space where a guy like Trump. But you have to respect the guy's genius, okay?
Of course.
First of all, he did something that, first of all, Trump never creates anything. He's not a creator. What he is he's a guy that'll take something that's already there and exploit it, which is what a lot of people do. So what did he exploit? Trump exploited the way Barack Obama became president. He used the exact same business model. About a quarter way through the campaign, he changed. Because, okay, let's look at it. What did Barack run on? Barack was a guy that had never held any office other than he was a community organizer. That's the extent of what he was. He was a junior senator. He shouldn't have had a shot at the presidency, to be honest.
Right, of course.
But what he was able to do was he was able to run on change. What did Trump run on? Change.
The exact same thing.
Change. His audience was fundamentally different, but it's the exact same idea.
It's a brilliant strategy. You give as little information as possible,
mm-hmm.
and you let somebody else fill in the blanks.
Like, it's so vague, it just makes sense to everybody. It makes sense to anybody that wants it to make sense.
So if I say, hey, Rodney Perry, you give me $500 right now, I'm going to take care of you in 2 months. Now, what did I just say? I said, if you give me 500, I'll take care of you.
Whatever that means.
I didn't say,
whatever that means.
I'm going to give you 500 back.
Yeah.
I didn't say I would do anything you were going to be satisfied with.
You made no promises, no guarantees.
I make no concrete promise so that when in 1 month I hit you with that $10 PayPal, you say, hey, what's this? Hey, man, I'm just taking care of you.
And now I have to evaluate what taking care of me means. Or I could murder you.
That's the more likely, of course. Of course.
But you also are playing the idea that the person has a sense of it's only $50, it's only $500, it's not worth a life.
Of course, everything is so low stakes. The genius of a two-party system is most people don't like to make decisions. They really don't. Most people don't like to make decisions. You could, that's evidence every night when you say, hey, what's for dinner? People don't like to make decisions. But if I give you two choices, you're more like, if I say, hey, man, you want to go get some tacos or some chicken? You could be thinking salad. But since I've given you two choices, which of those two choices is more like a salad?
Right.
So we go and get tacos.
Well said. Well said. Agreed.
You wanted salad, but you'll settle for tacos because that's what I presented.
Those are my options.
Those are your, and you have more options, but it's so difficult to speak up and say these are additional options.
Let me give you a great example of the idea you just put out there, because I think that's brilliant. I was just in overseas in Kuwait, and we were playing military bases in the dining facility. They call it the DFAC. They would every day they would have a meal, but the meal, because they're feeding so many people from different walks of life at different places, they would have so many options. And it was almost overwhelming. I mean, I would have 15 things on my plate, knowing I don't want all this shit, but it's there, and I feel like
if I didn't get it all, I was fucking wasting it. And ultimately, right. I end up wasting it. And I should have just chose the items that went together and put those on my plate.
Exactly. It's the buffet problem. We did the same thing in New Orleans. There's the St. Rock Market. You go there. There's 9 restaurants. And it's like, hey, man, let me get some of everything. And it's too difficult for me to be like, it's too difficult for me to give you 2 options and then for you to come back and try to convince me of a 3rd option. That's too much work.
Brandon Patrick, before we go, man, what do you want? You're a comedian. You're a musician. What do you want, man? If you could have it all tomorrow, but you had to ask for it, what would you ask for?
I would ask for a steady stream of shows for the rest of my life where people came with an open mind and were willing to be challenged.
So you if you want them to pay?
I mean, the show so far haven't paid, so I don't know why I would ask for that now.
I need you to put they need to pay on that list.
I mean, money would be nice. Money would be nice. I tell you what, man, I just drove. How far did I drive? Oh, my God. I drove 6 hours back and forth, which is not terrible, but dude promised me X, okay? Right. Rodney, when I tell you, I didn't get a fraction of X. It was so insulting. I said, hey, man, it seems like you need this more. And I gave it back to him.
Wow.
And then tonight, here's the kind of guy I am. My one-nighter, I got a one-nighter in Kansas City. It's called Cream of the Crop. It's great. Nobody came.
No comedians and no audience.
No audience came.
Wow. Now have you been promoting? Are you a promoter? See, I had to learn early in my career that Rodney Perry is not a promoter and is horrible at it.
No, that's a skill I had to develop. My day job is now social media, so I've applied all of that to this. And generally, the shows have been full. Generally, they've been full. So that was the expectation. So we get this dude.
So what caused the bottom to fall out?
This is the first show we've ever did in the summer at the new venue. Wow. And it's the first show of the summer, so people... Hey man, school just got out. We're gonna go on vacation, or you know, such and such. And it was an 8 o'clock show. You forget the comedy is a nighttime activity. In the summer, 8 o'clock daytime. Yeah. So we had a lot against us. I had to pay that so man what's the, what's his guarantee out of
what's
pocket.
The adjustment? Start later, and keep it going, or can you? You can't afford to take another loss like that.
I'll never take another loss like that. I'll never take another loss like that. So now it's start later, promote harder, and not only that, it's get people to do the work for me. That's something I've always been decent at is, okay, I'm going to put you on this show now. Here is your responsibility to the show. You know, I need to see it all. If 5 times on your wall, I need to see X, Y, and Z. So these people have to promote the show. We're going to promote the show. The venue's going to promote the show. I got the headliner. And I'm like, hey, man, you got to promote the show. He's like, I don't know if I have people in Kansas City.
So what?
Yeah, but your people have people in Kansas City. Right. So you got to get your people's people. I've given everybody maps, like little content maps. So he's going to make little tiny posts. Hey, what's good to eat in Kansas City? And then you get people, oh, why are you in Kansas City? Boom. That starts a conversation. It'll never happen again.
I believe. Hey, man. Hey, thanks for popping on, man. I love this new medium. So just to give you a quick education, I'm on Anchor. Anchor is a podcasting app that will allow me to podcast from anywhere in the world using my cell phone. You're currently on your phone. I'm currently on my phone. And when we get through this conversation, I'll post it. And it's dope, man. I really think it's amazing. My buddy LeVar Walker was on here. Dude, I got equipment. I got like mics and the whole nine.
this sounds as good as my mics. And it really pissed me off, but I said, fuck it.
No, this is amazing. We live in an amazing time for technology. The fact that, if you think about it, this would have taken at least hours to do.
Right.
At least hours. And we did it in minutes.
We did it in minutes, man. Great conversation. Brandon Patrick, social media before we get out, man.
At Brandon Comedy across the board. The website, the Instagram, the Twitter, the everything is Brandon Comedy.
Hey, he's Brandon. He's comedy. He's Brandon Comedy. This is Rodney Perry. It's the Rodney Perry Podcast. It can go down anytime, any place, anywhere. Y'all keep tuning in. All right, be good.